Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
It's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
That's how I know.
This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yes, indeed. Wake up, America. It's Friday, July 29th. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It is such a blessing to be with you as we get ready for the weekend. Can you believe it that it is the last Friday of July? Incredible. On Fridays, we always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is also the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, the friends of Jesus. And in these last couple of days that we have left here in July, keep in mind, July is also the traditional month in which we honor the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. First things first, as we do every morning and every hour, we begin in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may attain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that the spiritual life is a lot like an athletic race or a sporting event, using the language of sports. Athletes fight and prepare to win a crown, like the ball players who fight to win the Major League Baseball World Series championship. But as spiritual athletes for Christ, our goal is the crown of eternal life, an incorruptible crown with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Blessed Mother, and all the saints and angels in heaven for all eternity. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of our program, 888-914-9149. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now I want to introduce to you one of my all-time favorite people in Major League Baseball, my friend Jack McKeon. Jack has spent more than seven decades in professional baseball, and today Trader Jack continues to embrace the game that not only remains his livelihood, but also his passion. Jack is a two-time National League Manager of the Year, a devout Catholic, and daily communicant with a strong devotion to St. Therese the Little Flower, who credits the Blessed Mother Mary for his 70-plus years in baseball. In 2003, Jack McKeon came out of retirement at age 72 and won it all, managing the Florida Marlins to a dramatic World Series championship. Listen to an excerpt from my Champions of Faith Baseball documentary film.
The Marlins then continued their amazing run as they stunned the Chicago Cubs.
And the Florida Marlins have come back from three games to one down to win the National League pennant.
The Marlins would then meet the heavily favored New York Yankees in the 2003 World Series. This is where Jack's miracle would unfold in storybook fashion.
Tags Posada, and the Florida Marlins are world champions.
So
some writer asked me at the World Series, he said, who do you consider your most valuable player? I said, no doubt in my mind, St. Therese.
Joining us live from his hometown in Elon, North Carolina, is baseball legend Jack McKean, currently a senior advisor to the general manager of the Washington Nationals. Good morning, Jack. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning. It is an honor to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio.
Thanks, John. Welcome to your Relevant Radio show.
Yeah, it is a joy. You know, Jack, you realize you and I first met because of Relevant Radio way back in 2003, the very first interview we ever did for Relevant Radio when you were getting ready to take on the Cubs in the National League Championship Series there at Wrigley Field.
Well, it was a great, exciting day, and it was a pleasure meeting you, John. We've been friends for years, and I can't congratulate you enough on the great job you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. You're so kind, Jack. We have so much to talk about here in the upcoming minutes. You know, I reconnected with you the other day out while on vacation because we were in South Carolina, just down the road from your hometown, and you told me you were headed for Cooperstown last weekend. What did it mean for you to be at the recent Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony and get to actually be thanked by a couple of the new Hall of Famers, Jim Cott and Tony Oliva, who spent quite a bit of time with the Minnesota Twins?
Well, that was great. You know, you always enjoy seeing your players, former players, reach the pinnacle of the game of baseball, the Hall of Fame. And when Tony and Jim Cott went into the Hall of Fame, there was no question I had to go to Cooperstown to be with them and see them inducted into the game's greatest event.
Well, Jack, I was very moved when I heard both of these Hall of Famers mention you by name and call you out in the audience. In fact, we have a little clip of Tony Oliva, the great Twins slugger, who mentioned you in his induction speech.
I like this one coach here today. Maybe it's more, but it's one coach here today. He's maybe 94 years old, because he's old like me, and he was my coach. But he killed me. Mr. Jack McKean is here. I know what I'm talking about. He used his 100 grand ball to me and 100 fly ball to me every day, you know. But I was very proud that 5 years later, I win the Golden Glove in American League. Yeah.
Great moment. Jack, your thoughts?
Well, that was great. Tony and Jim Cott, dear friends of mine. And, you know, you're so happy for those guys because they were so dedicated to the game of baseball, intelligent. They were class guys. And like I told Jim Cott the other day, after the ceremony, I said, you know something, you've been a Hall of Famer all your life, and the same with Tony.
Awesome. It was a tremendous moment, great day, and I was blessed enough to be able to hear all those speeches. Jack, how has your Catholic faith, I know you're waiting to go to Mass here after we chat, you're standing by to go to daily Mass, something that you've done for such a long time, but how has your Catholic faith impacted your longtime professional baseball career that now spans seven decades?
Well, I can't be thankful enough to the good Lord. I mean, he's given me good health. But, you know, it's hard to explain, John, how much going to Mass each day was almost lifting everything away from your body and your mind. You went out there and everything was clear. And you knew the Lord was going to look after you and he was going to help you make the right decisions. And, you know, people talk about how tough it is for managers to manage under the pressure. Honestly, I never had any pressure. When I went out there, everything was nice and smooth because I knew the good man upstairs was going to be looking after me and he's going to help me make that right decision. And, you know, each day I prayed. I prayed that my players would perform up to their best and also that they would be safe and free of injury and, you know, let things happen the way they're supposed to happen, Lord. Just look after these guys.
Well, Jack, I know that going to church and attending Mass and receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist has been so important to you. How do you put it into words, especially at this time when the U.S. bishops have called for this Eucharistic revival for the next 3 years?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's sad that, you know, we're losing interest in God. You know, this country is founded on a lot of things, and the Lord was very instrumental in making this country great. And, you know, you go back years ago and you see the people that were very, very religious type people. And today we've lost that because of the new generation, the new garbage that's been just thrown at us these days. But hopefully the good Lord sees what's happening and can, you know, change the minds of some of these people in the future, and we get back to being the country that loved God and put him in even in everything you see is God we trust.
Very well said, Jack. Let's go back to your early days in your career. Can you talk about that special connection that you had then and you still have with our Blessed Mother that was in many ways responsible for your professional baseball career?
Every day I thank the Blessed Virgin because I feel that she was responsible for me getting into this position I am today. I was a good high school player, John, and at the scouts. There was no draft in those days. The scouts would come to the house and try to sign me. And my father, who had a seventh grade education, had a garage taxi and wrecking business, and worked his tail off to make things good for his family. And he would not let me or my brother sign because he said, I want you guys not to have to work so hard as I had to work, and I want you to get a college education. So he wouldn't let me sign. I had a scholarship to Holy Cross up in Worcester, Mass. Went there on a baseball scholarship. And I pray every night. I went to the dining room. It was a shrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I would come back and I'd pray about 15, 20 minutes and ask the good Virgin, Blessed Virgin, if she would please contact the Lord and see if he couldn't convince my father to let me sign. Well, Christmas vacation time came. We left Holy Cross, went home for a Christmas vacation, and scouts came back to the house. My father called me into the room, him and I, and he said, you really want to play, don't you? I said, yes. He said, I'll tell you what. If you do me a favor and get a college education, I'll let you sign. Well, John, that's a piece of cake. So I got the opportunity to start, and here I am today, and I thank the Blessed Virgin every day for giving me, for convincing the Lord to convince my father to let me sign.
And the rest is history. We're joined this morning live by Trader Jack McKean, the two-time Manager of the Year, who today is still working in baseball as a special assignment to the general manager of the Washington Nationals. Jack, what makes the game of baseball that you still have such a passion for, such a great game, such a metaphor for life?
Well, you know, it's easy because, you know, when I was, we didn't have all the technology and the cars and all the gadgets these youngsters got today. So all we could think about was baseball day and night. Summer, winter, didn't make any difference. We were always practicing. And the funny thing is, we were listening. I can remember listening at 9 and 10 years old to the Yankees and the New York Giants and the Polo Grounds and the AAA teams, the Newark Bears and the Jersey City Little Giants, farm clubs of the Yankees and the Giants. I knew every one of those players. It was ingrained in us that, you know, everything we knew about baseball. And even when we went to high school, I mean, we knew more about baseball than the coaches did because we studied this thing. You know, a funny thing, we'd get up 6 o'clock in the morning and go out and hit. The two O'Brien twins, Johnny and Eddie, went All-Americans at the Seattle University in basketball and played in the major leagues. In my graduating class of 20 two boys, we had three make the major leagues because we dedicated our lives to that. We worked at it. It was eat, sleep, and work on the baseball.
You got to love it. You've had such a blessed career. The blessings keep coming here as we speak, 70-plus years in professional baseball. But 2003, and we played the clip at the beginning, it was a very special year for you as you came out of retirement to win the World Series finally. How important was your Catholic faith to you in helping you to achieve your dream and become a World Series champion?
Well, it was great. That was my 30th year. And I finally, you look back, and I used to sit there, and my wife and I would watch the World Series and see the winning team celebrate in the clubhouse, throwing champagne and what have you at each other and enjoying that scene. And I'd say to my wife, God, wouldn't that be something? I'd like to see that happen. And never dreamed things would fall into 2003, and we got that opportunity. And, you know, when we won the World Series, getting to the World Series is tough. There's no question about it. But you know the funny thing is, you got to win the pennant and to get to the World Series. And I have a story about my days in Chicago, where you are. And I went to church every day, and I forget the cathedral down there by the hotel that we used to
Holy Name Cathedral, Jack.
Holy Name Cathedral. I would go there every morning when I was a manager all these years. And I didn't know that the pastor down at the church knew me. But I would sneak in there and go to Mass and go on, mind my business. And now here we are in the seventh game of the playoffs, and the winner goes to the World Series. And you know my devotion to Saint Therese of the Little Flower. Well, anyway, I go into church this day, and this pastor comes up to me, and he taps me on the shoulder. He said, "Good to see you here." I said, "You know me." He said, "I see you come here all the time." "Okay, that's fine." He said, "But we're going to win today." I said, okay, Father. And then all of a sudden, he gets up and reads the passage of the gospel. And he said, the gospel from so-and-so, whatever it was. But he said, today is the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila. And God, I just almost stood up. I said, we're in. There's no chance they're going to beat us today. Because I know St. Teresa of Avila and the Little Flower are good friends. And I'm in good position tonight. And we coasted through. What a time.
You were definitely in. You stunned the Chicago Cubs in seven games there in that National League Championship Series, and then went on to defeat the mighty New York Yankees in David versus Goliath-like fashion to win the World Series. A tremendous, tremendous year. Great, great memories. But you've also received the second ring in recent years, now with your most recent ball club, the Washington Nationals.
Well, the good Lord's, like I said, been looking after me all these years. And when we left Miami, Washington called and offered me a job to go back with her. And I went back, and that was the year we won the World Series. But, you know, it's a funny thing, John. All through my career, you know, people say to me, what do you attribute your success to? I said, well, it's a few things. I said, the persistence of following my dream is one. Always doing something to make my parents and family proud, and the power of prayer. And I said, those three things have triggered my entire career. And, you know, like I said, the good Lord has looked after me all these years.
Well, there's no question, Jack, that you've been so blessed. You've done a little bit of everything. You've been a general manager when you were known as Trader Jack back in your Padres days. You've won the National League Manager of the Year twice. You're a World Series champion. You've done your share of scouting. You've done it all. But what advice do you have for young ball players who love the game and have dreams of playing at the highest level?
Well, like I said, you know, I worked for Ray Kroc, and one of the key things that he used to always preach was persistence is the key to success, and that failure wasn't fatal. So I tell young guys, hey, go out, work hard, be smart, don't worry about what happens. If you fail, don't give up. Come back fighting. Find out why you failed and work on those things to correct these failures and follow the path of persistence.
Well, Jack, there's no question that you have inspired even Hall of Famers, and you've definitely inspired this reporter. Your example of going to daily mass just about every day of your life, for me, has been a great role model, something that I've tried to follow and emulate all these years to get to daily mass. I so much appreciate you being with us here this morning. And I just so you know, I have a copy of your book, I'm Just Getting Started, Baseball Best Storyteller and Old School Baseball Defying the Odds, and Good Cigars, with you smoking a cigar with your championship ring right on the cover. It's a cherished book that you personally signed to me, and I so much appreciate our friendship and being with us here on Morning Air for the first time for me as the host of this show.
Well, I appreciate that, John, but I got one story before we hang up. He's talking about smoking cigars. I don't smoke anymore because I had double pass about 10 years ago. But I'm in Cincinnati. I'm going to church every morning at the St. Peter chain. And we go on the road trip. And we had daily mass in this little side chapel, not the main church. And then we're on the road in Milwaukee. And a radio guy calls me up and he said, guess what? He said, I said on the radio last night that they had a fire at St. Peter and Chain's Chapel. And the reason was that Jack McCann left one of the cigars.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, Jack, great story. You've got so many. You are the master storyteller. Again, thank you so much for being with us. I know you got to get to mass. You're literally calling us from right outside the church. So many blessings to you.
I'm in the parking lot, John, right here. I'm looking at my clock here. I got about 5.5 minutes. So I'm going to be in good shape. Thank you for having me. I don't think I was as good an interview today as I should be. But I'll be better the next time.
Oh, you're very humble, Jack. No, you were fantastic as always. I so much appreciate you being with us. Many, many blessings to you and your beautiful career in Major League Baseball. All the best with the Washington Nationals.
Well, thank you, John, and call me anytime.
Absolutely. Jack McKeon, Trader Jack, special assistant to the general manager of the Washington Nationals, former Major League Baseball World Series champion manager, and a baseball legend. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Washington Nationals chaplain and noted exorcist Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. He'll be with us to discuss demonic obsessions with depression and despair. So we're going to totally shift gears. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Say goodbye.
Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning, the very last Friday of the month of July. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, most of the time, feelings of depression and anxiety have psychological roots and need to be treated on the natural level. level. Joining us now is a friend of Morning Air and an exorcist, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, to discuss how demonic obsessions accompanied by feelings of depression, anxiety, and despair are more common than we realize. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist, chaplain of the Washington Nationals of Major League Baseball, and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against Ancient Evil. Monsignor Rossetti, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It's my pleasure.
Well, Monsignor, we just had a nice segment just before yours talking a little baseball and the Catholic faith with someone you know, Trader Jack McKeon, the special assistant to the GM of the Washington Nationals. So it made me think of you, of course, with your affiliation as the chaplain of the ball club. How are things going this year?
Well, we're in what's called those rebuilding years. You know, we won the World Series in 19 and but we had one of the oldest teams. We did have the oldest team in baseball. So, you guys are bringing some younger talent, and so we're rebuilding. And we got some exciting prospects, so we're hopeful for the future. But our record's not what we'd like it to be right now.
Well, Juan Soto, the star outfielder of the Nationals, obviously took center stage when he won the home run hitting contest at the All-Star game festivities. That was a great moment for the Nationals organization, but it's also kind of shocking that he's turned down this humongous $440 million contract.
Yes, well, big bucks in baseball, you know. I kind of wish players were able to stay with one club like it used to be in the past, but it's a new era, and they're pretty traded fairly quickly.
I'm with you. I long for the days when guys like Ernie Banks would stay with one team for their entire career, but apparently those days are history. Let's shift gears and talk about today's topic, demonic obsession, along with depression and despair. Monsignor, what are some of the signs that a person's mood could possibly have demonic roots?
Well, John, first of all, let me say that, as you mentioned in this segment leading in, that most people's feelings of depression, despair, that sort of thing, are psychological, need to be treated psychologically. But what we found is a surprising number of people who will have these feelings. They seem to drop out of the blue, and they respond to prayer. You know, one of the places we learned this was we had this online deliverance session every month, once a month, and we get about 7,000 people signing up. So it's a huge thing, people from around the world. And we get flooded with emails afterwards, people saying, you know, I've been struggling with depression and it lifted. I felt like I was carrying a heavy burden and now I feel free. And again, I struggle with anxiety and worry and I feel a sense of peace now. So lots of times we're finding that people's this dark mood will ameliorate with prayer.
Do you find that the evil one, Satan, is an opportunist, he takes advantage of us when we're feeling weak, especially when we're psychologically weak?
Yeah, and I think that's most common. Some people say, "Well, is this psychological or is it spiritual?" I think lots of times it's a combination. You know, that, as you say, Satan's an opportunist, and so if we have a natural tendency towards, say, depression or despair, I know we'll have some, we'll experience that. But then Satan will jack it up, as I say. He'll get in there and he'll start exaggerating to a point where it becomes overwhelming, and it becomes out of character. And that's when we know that Satan's, you know, present. And so when we pray over those kinds of people, you'll see quite a bit of it reduce. But then the natural stuff will be left and need to be treated psychologically.
We're talking about medications and psychotherapy. Would those be working in conjunction with prayer?
Yeah, lots of the people come to us. Of course, we treat people within the archdiocese. And they, we usually have them do some sort of psychological treatment in addition to deliverance prayers or exorcisms, that we find that that underlying natural healing can be very good because it closes the door, doesn't allow Satan to be an opportunist, you know. And then the prayers become a bit more effective. So a combination of therapy with a Catholic therapist and then some deliverance prayers are usually best.
What are some of the traits, based on your experience? You've been involved in exorcism for a long time and really are an expert. What have you seen in terms of some of the characteristics of people who are being obsessed with the evil one and have been experiencing these feelings of darkness and depression and there's no hope?
Right. I was just treating someone yesterday, and there's several significant signs. One is it tends to come on without a trigger. Usually psychologically, there's some, you know, natural trigger which triggers the emotions. And when it's an obsession, it just comes on, you know, willy-nilly, and there's no apparent reason for it, number one. Number two, it's unusually intense. It comes on like a storm, you know, that rather than sort of easing its way in and then being of a natural level, it becomes like a hurricane, and it becomes consuming. You say, whoa, that's amazingly powerful, and it doesn't make sense psychologically. Three, sometimes it can be uncharacteristic. Now, as you say, sometimes Satan's an opportunist, but some, for example, I've had people come to me who have these suicidal thoughts, but they're not suicidal. I mean, it's uncharacteristic of them. Well, that's a typical demonic obsession, these sort of strange suicidal thoughts that come out of nowhere. And four, as I mentioned earlier, reacting to prayer, you know, when you start praying over people, someone who's obsessed, and that guy, you know, when you see a response to prayer, it mitigates quite a bit right away. Then you know that that evil one's present.
Monsignor Rossetti, where are we with the mainstream psychiatric community, the doctors, all the experts? Do they acknowledge these realities? Do they acknowledge that prayer could make a difference?
Well, you know, that's interesting. We have a tough case going on, and the person is an atheist. But she has such powerful demonic signs, you know, marks on her body and all sorts of things going on and strange things and speaking in foreign tongues and stuff. Second, the psychiatrist said, you know, I'm starting to believe, you know, that this really is there really are demons. So I think when you're faced with the reality, you know, it's hard to reject it. But obviously still in the community, there are some who, many who do not believe in such things, and there are many who do. So when we send someone for therapy, we have our people that we send them to who will be supportive and helpful.
Of course, we know that prayer is very powerful. What kind of prayers do you recommend? What have you done with people who you think might be dealing with a demonic obsession with this depression and despair?
Yeah. Well, one of the first things, we've got several steps I work with people. The first thing is to recognize it as early as possible, you know, because once you're right in the smack dab middle of it, it's just overwhelming and you can't have any distance from it and to reflect on it. So recognize the signs early, and then the prayer, if you will, we have them reject those evil spirits. We use the three R's. We reject these evil spirits, we renounce them, and we rebuke them. So if it's a spirit of depression, we'll say, I reject the spirits of depression, I renounce these spirits of depression, and I rebuke these spirits of depression, and I, in Jesus' name, I cast them out of my life. So you see them, you make an act of the will of casting them out in Christ's name.
Have you seen with your own eyes just the power of those types of prayers in Jesus' name right before your eyes?
Sure, sure. And it's remarkable for those who really do have demonic obsessions. But I think good for all of us. You know, all of us are tempted by Satan. I mean, there's no question about it. Satan tempts all of us. So let's say you have a temptation, like some people talk about temptations to lust. I mean, when you feel it coming on, as as a normal thing, just say, in the holy name of Jesus, I reject these spirits of lust. I renounce these spirits of lust. I rebuke them. In Jesus' name, I cast them out. I think that it's something good for all of us.
Absolutely. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question about demonic obsession with depression and despair, we're taking your calls for Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, licensed psychologist and the author of Diary of an American Exorcist. You can give us a call at 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Monsignor Rossetti. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us on this Friday morning as we continue our conversation about demonic obsessions with depression and despair with the author of Diary of an American Exorcist, Monsignor Steve Rossetti. He's the chief exorcist for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and also the head of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal. Monsignor Rossetti, welcome back.
John, great to be with you and all your listeners.
Monsignor, if depression is something that people can get over, as we've discussed, is it like a disease, or does it become something permanent that people have to live with for some other folks?
Well, depression, psychologically speaking, can be successfully treated. It's not like a virus that eventually goes away. I mean, it's always there a bit, but you can a combination of psychotherapy and medications or whatever treatment you use, or even sometimes naturally, people can live a healthy and holy life, and most people do. So I wouldn't be too negative about it. A significant portion of the population is suffer from depression, but you know there are lots of things they can do to live, you know, a healthy life and a happy life with it.
Again, if you want to join our conversation with Monsignor Rossetti, you can call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Monsignor, what about exercise in addition to therapy and some of these medications? How important can exercise, along with prayer, be in helping someone to recover from a really dark place, from depression?
Well, you know, obviously, it's part of a larger issue of living a healthy life. Now, when you're in the midst of a major depression, boy, the last thing you think about is getting out and getting exercise or whatever. I mean, you feel like sitting in the corner, pulling the shades down, and isolating. So, and it can be somewhat overwhelming. So, in those situations, a stronger intervention is needed, and often family members need to get the person some professional help. But for most people who suffer milder forms, simply retooling and living a healthy life can be effective. For example, one thing I talk about with this person I'm dealing with who has problems with demonic obsessions, and I say one thing that she knows, she said, listen, when this happens to me, I can't isolate. I've got to get out. I've got to reach out to my friends. I've got to share and do things I enjoy, because the sense is you want to lie down on the couch and just feel lousy. And so sometimes you've got to make an act of the will of getting up, getting out, connecting with your friends and doing things you enjoy in life.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned it is I've heard of people who have raved about exercise, and also Catholics who have started going to Mass and receiving the Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. and they felt like they were overcoming depression by the help of the Holy Eucharist and even exercise as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, I've treated several people who have been involved with witchcraft in the past. And one thing I've noticed about those who spend several years involved with magic and witchcraft and that sort of thing is there's a real darkness around them. you know, that they, and I talked to one who was practicing witchcraft for 7 years, and I said, you know, you look really dark and depressed and heavy. And he said he admitted it, that practice of witchcraft really was dragging him down. So part of the treatment is you pray over the people as they return to the Lord, it slowly will lift that darkness, and I've seen it happen. So absolutely. I mean, of course, we receive the Eucharist for many reasons, but it does help us in our daily life. I mean, it gives us life rather than us promoting death.
Again, what can we do for our loved ones who might be going through a dark period, who might be going through depression and despair? What can we do to help them?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to get some a professional evaluation and see what the problem might be. There could be lots of reasons. Depression really is not one mental disorder. It's a collection of them. There are many different reasons why people are depressed, and some more biological, some more reactive to a current trauma, or some more responsive to, say, as you say, exercise, that sort of thing. So you need to start with a good assessment. What kind of depression are we talking about? And then fit the treatment to the kind of depression you have.
Well, this is a fascinating topic that we're discussing this morning here with Monsignor Rossetti. Our number, 888-914-9149. Anne is joining us from Mainline, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Anne. Welcome to Morning Air.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Good morning, Monsignor. I have a question of how you determine or discern the difference between a demonic possession and psychiatric illness. Is both sort of, in my case, present the same. And also, I have been saying this since childhood, that what I experienced was truly a pall of evil around me. And this was going on since childhood. I'm 61 now, and I can say that my own story sort of confirms this. A story where I had to give up my own personal life so that others may be free, et cetera. I don't want to go through the whole story, but how would you discern? And I've been almost suggesting to my family, who's almost agreeing with it now, that this is something that should be exercised from our lineage, our immediate family. So I'd like to know, Monsignor. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Anne. First, I'm sorry for your many years of struggle. But as you suggest, I mean, we do have experienced some generational evil spirits which are passed down the family line. So which is one of the reasons why we do have a prayer in our app Catholic Exorcism, to lift the generational curses and generational evil spirits. And in our monthly deliverance sessions, we do that. We pray lift and deliver us from these generational spirits. But your first question is a complex one, but a critical one. How do we determine the difference between a psychological disorder and demonic presence? And sometimes it's not clear, but eventually it does become clear. It helps being a licensed psychologist. I've practiced psychology for 30 years, you know, and I've been an exorcist for 15. So you do eventually start seeing the difference between them. While in the beginning they can be confusing, and especially as you go on, you know, you start praying over someone with a demonic issue and they start getting better. Or in one case, a woman said, you know, I've been to 100 exorcisms and I haven't gotten better, and I want you to exorcise me. And I said, well, that's probably because your problem is probably not demonic. You know, it's probably psychological. So there are lots of little signs that something's truly psychological or it's truly demonic.
Thanks so much, Anne. Really appreciate it. Monsignor Rossetti, do we need an exorcist priest, a specialist like yourself, to get rid of demonic obsession? Or can a lay person also pray over someone?
Here's what I'd say. I'm glad you asked that question, John, because every time someone, or most times people, they see some demonic sign, they say, oh my gosh, I need a priest. Probably not. Most of the time, if you stop whatever any evil that's going on in your life and you return to the sacraments, you go to confession, you live a holy life, and you renounce any of these sort of evil spirits, especially, 80% of the time, you know, the demonic issues will resolve of their own without the intervention of a priest. You only really need a priest to do deliverance impression, praying and whatever, exorcisms. And the more complex cases, more difficult ones, which are hard to expunge with just a living holy life.
Monsignor, so much to talk about. We have about 90 seconds left. Can you share a few good resources to battle against the evil one when dealing with depression and despair?
All the things we mentioned, John, today are all good resources. I would recommend people attend our monthly online session. We've seen some powerful healings, you can register on our website at www.catholicexorcism.org. So that the next month's session in August will be up on the website in about a week.
Again, CatholicExorcism.org. Well, Monsignor, this is a fascinating topic. I'm always reminded of the teachings of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who used to talk about the fact that the essence of the diabolic was the hatred of the cross of Christ. So has that been your experience?
Absolutely. The hates Jesus, hates the cross, hates the Catholic Church. So anything holy, the demons can't stand. And those are our weapons.
It is a spiritual battle, no doubt. Monsignor Rossetti, thank you so much for being with us this morning, as always.
God bless you, John, and all.
Many blessings to you. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, the author of Diary of an American Exorcist. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Big Faith in a Small Cone, from Sarah Moore Groover in Love What Matters. I had $20 to my name. The bills were paid and the food was bought, but there just wasn't much left over that week, and that was okay. On the way home from the grocery store, my kids begged for ice cream. Begged, cried real tears, all the drama. I said, no, I'm short on money and I might need that $20 before payday. We have plenty of good food at home. We don't need to stop at the ice cream store. I heard little sighs from the back seat, and then, God, we'd really love some ice cream. Is there any way you can give Mommy some money so we can get some ice cream tonight? We know you can. Thank you. Oh, good grief. Guys, I said, God isn't going to drop money on our doorstep so you two can get ice cream. He's busy right now with natural disasters. Nope, Josh said. God said you'll have plenty of money for ice cream and to give some to the natural disaster people. Josh, it doesn't work that way, I started, then gave up, and then we got home. And on my doorstep was the mail. In the mail was an envelope. In the envelope was a check for $123 from an overpayment on a student loan I'd paid off in 2007. The kids were not surprised. God was not surprised. They got ice cream. The Red Cross got a donation. And Mom remembered yet again what it means to have the faith of a child. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. I want to remind you, you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or our Morning Air podcast on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. In these final days of the month of July, let's honor the precious blood of Jesus by praying with our Blessed Mother, the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. It has been a joy. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to go to Mass on Sunday. We'll see you Monday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.